This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on July 14th, 2016. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Next item on the agenda is draft advisory opinion 2016-06, the Internet Association and Internet Association Political Action Committee, submitted by Ron Jacobs. We have a presentation this morning from Gregory Ketchum Colwell and Jessica Selenkoff from the Office of General Counsel. We do have counsel for the requester present, and so if you'll take your place at the witness table. Good morning, and when you're ready, please proceed.
Thank you, Chairman Peterson. Good morning, Commissioners. Agenda documents 1627A, B, and B1 present three draft advisory opinions in response to a request by the Internet Association and its separate segregated fund, IAPAC. The Internet Association and IAPAC asked several questions relating to their proposal to host online candidate fundraisers. At each fundraiser, the requesters and the participating candidate will advocate for the candidate's election and solicit contributions to that candidate. As a general matter, the drafts agree that the requesters may host the proposed fundraisers, although Draft A concludes that payments attributable to the fundraisers are contributions to the participating candidates. All drafts conclude that IAPAC must pay IA the software development and staffing costs of the fundraisers to avoid IA making prohibited corporate contributions. All drafts provide reporting guidance and also conclude that IA, as a trade association, may promote the events to its members as proposed. The Commission received one comment on the drafts from the requesters. Draft B1 incorporates a change discussed in that comment. We are available to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you for that presentation. We'll now open it up to discussion, either questions of requester, questions of counsel, or any discussion. Commissioner Goodman.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you. I intend to support draft B, I believe it's B-1, am I right, Madam Secretary? Is that how it was designated?
Yes, it is.
Document number 16-27-B-1. Because the predicate for this request, and Mr. Jacobs, you correct me if I'm wrong, is fundamentally an online communication, and that is a webcast of a communication between IAPAC and people who want to log on their own computers and listen to what IAPAC wants to communicate. Is that an accurate characterization of what IAPAC wants to do?
Yes, that is correct. It would be online only.
And they're not going to pay a fee to any other third party to post this webcast on any other website?
That's correct.
Okay. And if I understood your supplemental submission, IAPAC is not going to incur the cost of a traditional event. They're not going to rent a ballroom, pay for valet parkers, pay for waiters, dinner or hors d'oeuvres, or any of those historical, real world, physical world events or costs. They're not going to be paying for those types of incidents and trappings in order to host what is essentially a communication.
That's correct. It's the entire event is a communication. There's not any of the traditional trappings of an actual event. It exists solely online.
Solely online.
Yes.
And takes the form of nothing more or less than a communication.
That's right.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, given that predicate, what the Internet effectively does, and this was recognized by the Commission in 2006 when it adopted the new definition to public communication, is it takes old physical world events and reduces them to nothing more nor less than their communicative element. It takes what used to be an event where people had to come to a room and meet and converse, and it converts it to solely being the communication itself. And that fits squarely within the concept and contours of the rulemaking in 2006, which defined out of the term public communication all communications on the internet that were not paid for a fee. Now, the PAC here in this case, we know from precedent, is permitted to expressly advocate and solicit contributions for candidates online. The commission in 2011 approved an advisory opinion to Utah Bankers PAC, where the commission concluded that the cost of the PAC's solicitations and advocacy via email and website would not be in-kind contributions because they were not coordinated communications. They were not coordinated communications because the communications were over the internet, email, and website. So we don't have a public communication, and it is not a therefore it's not a coordinated communication. Under the content prong, and we know it's not, we don't meet the content prong of the coordinated communication regulation. Under many precedents of this commission, including MER 6477, Turnright USA PAC, and MER 6722, House Majority PAC, all of which involve PACs posting videos supporting candidates, and this commission concluded that there was no coordinated communication in those cases because all that was being posted were videos online. So I think we are in the right realm when we analyze this pursuant to the coordinated communication regulation. It is the exclusive measure or test of in-kind contributions arising from communications that are coordinated. That's why the fact that what is happening here is nothing more nor less than a communication is critical to choosing which regulatory rubric we use to analyze this potential in-kind contribution. Now, what the FEC cannot do is take this communication that is, and I believe Mr. Jacobs has acknowledged, there is coordinating conduct here, but we can't shop that around for the most convenient or generally worded or restrictive regulation when we have, like a square peg in search of a big enough hole to fit it in, when we have before us a classic communication. That's all it is. And I believe that the ENJ and the statements made in 2006 around the ENJ made very clear that the only online communications that would be regulated as coordinated communications under the definition of public communication would be those paid for a fee. Now, I'm willing to answer questions about this because I understand there may be some questions about the candidate's participation in this communication. But the candidate's participation in this communication is just classic coordinating conduct. And because Mr. Jacobs has acknowledged we have coordinating conduct, you can't use the candidate's participation in the communication, that is coordinating conduct, to somehow supply the content prong of the coordinated communication required in the regulation. Nor can we take the conduct, the participation of the candidate in the communication, and somehow look for another regulation to put it under when he is communicating in a communication. And the commission's precedents on that are quite clear, ranging from Advisory Opinion 2003-25, the Wenzel Committee, to Advisory Opinion 2004-1, the Bush-Cheney Committee, MER 5517, Stork for Congress. In all those cases, the commission analyzed a candidate's participation in a third party's communication under the coordinated communication regulation. So we know that when a candidate participates in a third party's communication, whether it's video, on television, wherever it is, the proper reference point is the coordinated communication regulation. The Christian Coalition case, referenced in the Commission's 2000 Coordinated Communication ENJ, also distinguished between expressive expenditures versus more traditional types of expenditures that you would expect to see at a fundraising event. the 2006 explanation and justification accompanying the internet regulation also made that distinction quite clear, that there remain certain kinds of assets transferred to a campaign, and when those assets are transferred to a campaign for its use, that is an in-kind contribution. But where it is the PAC's communication disseminated solely online, the proper rubric or regulation for determining its regulation is the coordinated communication regulation. So we're in the right realm, we're in the right regulation, and there it is inescapable that when you choose the coordinated communication regulation to analyze what IAPAC proposes to do, we do not have a coordinated communication and no contribution would result. So this is why I intend to support draft B-1 that would opine that IAPAC's so internet-only communications involving the participation of a candidate in IAPAC's own communication is coordinating conduct but not coordinating content. Thank you.
Do we have any further questions or comments? Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The fact that something is not a coordinated communication does not mean that it has no value and it's not otherwise a thing of value. I think what your clients have done is very creative and innovative and to be lauded. They've created an online space to hold a fundraising event. And just as if there were expenses associated with a physical space that they were providing in order to do a fundraising event, and that is the way you have characterized it, I appreciate my colleagues recharacterizing the event for you, and of course, you know, if it'll get you to the answer you want, you say, sure, we could call it that too. But the way you characterized it in your request was as an online fundraising event, and it's not cost-free. If it were cost-free, then we wouldn't have any cost that we needed to worry about as a potential in-kind contribution. But just as if you donated physical space to a candidate to hold a fundraising event, that would be viewed as an in-kind contribution. It doesn't ban the event in any way. It just means that you have to account for the value of the space. There are apparently costs associated with this online forum. And what Draft A states, and I think that is the correct analysis, is that those costs have to be viewed as an in-kind contribution. You know, I think there's a variety of ways you could. Your client probably knows better than we do how to value the fair market, how to come up with a fair market value of what that space is. You don't have to, I think, take the entire cost that went into building the platform, just like you wouldn't have to take the entire cost of building a building just because you donated a room for a fundraising purpose. So I suspect that the costs actually won't be in any way interfering with your ability to run these kinds of events. But I do think it's a thing of value that is being provided to the candidate, and Draft A has the right analysis of it, so I will be supporting Draft A.
Any further comments or questions? Commissioner Goodman.
Just a brief response to my colleague, Commissioner Weintraub. That's what's so unique about the internet, is it takes old-world physical events and it reduces them to being nothing more than bits and bytes of information being disseminated not at cost but for free. And the only cost associated to the PAC are the back office production costs, and we have never, and the E&J in 2006 said we would not count the production costs for internet communications. And that the only costs that would be regulated would be the actual fee paid to a third party to post on their website. And so I would just urge the Commission not to fight the technology and to bend to what this technology does. This technology has produced incredibly effective communication tools for people at very low cost, so low that the policy judgment of the 2006 regulation was that we would not count the cost associated with the use of one's own computer equipment. Now, what IAPAC is not proposing to do, it's not proposing to buy computer equipment and software and Skype-like communication tools and video cameras and give them to a campaign for its use. It is using its own computer equipment and video camera for its own communication and then inviting a candidate to participate in its communication, no different than had it uploaded a video posted by the candidate on the candidate's own website and played that video. The difference between the live participation of the candidate versus a video participation of the candidate is the same.
I am so sorry.
Technology pervades everywhere, doesn't it?
It did a good job interrupting him.
And I might add that in a series of precedents, the commission has decided, and this was what animated the policy of 2006, was that, for example, at page 18597 of the 71 Federal Register, with regard to party committees and their expenditures to create videos and content on websites, the commission said, in addressing specifically, and I'm quoting, production costs of videos and other content, they would only be regulated, quote, when it is placed for a fee on a third party's website. The commission clarified for political committees like party committees that the production costs would not be counted as contributions or expenditures. The commission heard testimony on this issue with reformers, proposing that there be some dollar cutoff, about $20,000 or $30,000, beyond which production cost would count as an expenditure or contribution. That testimony was from Don Simon and former Chairman Trevor Potter, and there was a colloquy between them and Commissioners Toner and Smith at the time. You can look at MER 6722, House Majority PAC, where this commission, constituted here on this dais, the vote certification that was voted out 6-0 voted for no coordinated communication for House Majority PAC's online videos, and I'm quoting, with respect to the production and dissemination of the videos under the coordinated communication regulation. In Advisory Opinion 2011-14, Utah Bankers PAC, the commission opined that there was no coordinated communication, and again, I'm quoting, where the PAC paid for the project's website and email expenses, including staff time spent creating email and website content, internet vendor cost, and server time. All of those back office, back end costs for Utah Bankers PAC to post express advocacy videos online were excluded from the definition of expenditure or coordinated contribution. In Advisory Opinion 2008-10, I'm speaking for the benefit of my colleagues, but perhaps they're less interested in hearing me, but in 2008-10 in VoterVoter.com, the commission opined that the cost incurred by individuals in creating an ad on the internet was exempt from the definition of expenditure. In the ENJ accompanying the 2006 rulemaking, the commission concluded there is virtually no cost associated with sending email communications, even thousands of emails to thousands of recipients. So the production costs here are not being given to the campaign for its independent use. That would be different. If I walked up, Ms. Jacobs, I assume you agree, if IAPAC were to walk up to a candidate that it likes and say, here is some computer equipment, here is a video machine, here is software we've developed, it's quite valuable, use it to your campaign's benefit, I think you would agree that would be an in-kind contribution from IAPAC to that campaign.
I do agree. I think that that we used the analogy of a traditional fundraiser in the online space to demonstrate how the internet changes things, that it's not a traditional fundraiser. We didn't mean in any way to suggest that we were live streaming a traditional fundraiser. This is an online communication only, and I agree completely that if we create it, if we handed the software over to the campaign, that's giving the campaign something of value. But the way we view this is squarely in line with the precedents that just as if we could create our own an ad that said, hey, give to Congressman so-and-so and put it on the website, that would be a communication under the internet rules that would not be a coordinated communication. The same thing holds true here, where it's the candidate is there in the room, having a conversation, there's an ask. Just as if you could, it seems to me that you could have that arrangement, videotape it, and put it on the website as a video ad, that would fit clearly within the communication, the internet communication regulations. So the only difference really is the fact that it is a live stream of that interaction with the candidate, that it all changes things, and it seems to me that it doesn't legally change anything because it's still that back-end production cost of the Internet Association to produce that communication.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any further questions?
Mr. Chairman.
I was just going to add that I'm going to be supporting revised draft B as well. When I first read your request, and I should maybe preface this by saying that for a number of years, my colleague Commissioner Weintraub and I did a workshop at FEC conferences on corporate communications and use of corporate facilities and resources. And so when I first read your request and was thinking about it initially, this is a fundraising event, and within that rubric, and I was thinking, okay, it's online versus physical, but there's still, whatever. Just as with fundraising events, if a corporation provides their facilities or resources, there needs to be proper reimbursement at the usual normal charge. Certain elements like use of mailing lists and use of directed employees, catering and so forth need to be prepaid. And so I was thinking of it under a very traditional model. But as I stepped back and considered this a little bit more deeply, once you strip away the traditional trappings of a fundraiser, once you get rid of the room rental, the catering, valet parking, sometimes entertainment's provided, sometimes there are photo ops. There is communication that takes place at a traditional fundraiser, but usually that's almost incidental to what's going on, and all of these other elements have very identifiable costs, and they are not small. Take away all those different elements, and what we have here really is all that you have left is the communication itself, and it's a communication that is not you're not proposing to use some other companies or some other entities' website or transmission network, paying them to carry this out. It would be the association's own website and its own communications platform. To me, this fits squarely within the exception to the definition of public communication that the commission promulgated back in 2006. And this really is an example of the way in which the internet is different in terms of that there isn't there isn't a marginal cost. Is there a value? Yes, there's certainly a value. Just like any time there's an opportunity to be able to communicate, there's some value. But we're not in the position of trying to attribute non-tangible value. In the traditional fundraiser context, we can. We know exactly how much is being paid for room rental and for catering and for all the other elements. Here, what's the value of being able to use an online platform that was already pre-existing? I guess there was some enhancement to that platform in order to provide a donate button. I don't see that. I don't see that as altering the course of this of the nature of the request either. So what we do have here is communication that is that fits within the confines of the coordinated communications rule. And since these do not constitute public communications, I believe that they are permissible. And I think that the analysis under revised draft B is the correct one. And for that reason, at the appropriate time, I will support that motion. Commissioner Goodman.
If I could ask Mr. Jacobs another question to help me make this distinction. If I and I'm asking for your reflection on this question.
Sure.
If IAPAC contemplated renting out a ballroom at the JW Marriott Hotel and employing waiters and a staging rig and lighting and hors d'oeuvres and beverages and used direct mail to invite people to that event, and the total cost of that event were $30,000 to hold the event, and you set up a webcam at that event, and you streamed it live, including all the discussions from the podium, would you count the $30,000 event as an in-kind to the candidate? But the streaming itself would not be a coordinated expenditure?
Right. I think that's exactly right. I think that one of the things I think is important to keep in mind is this. I don't think it would open up a door to sort of exempting a whole bunch of other expenses from the traditional regulatory framework. You couldn't spend $30,000 for a live event and suddenly try and claim that $30,000 under the internet exemption, because those are production costs. That's for an event that's a live event. You couldn't do door-to-door canvassing where you're paying your canvassers and just happen to stream it online or something like that. It's not a open the door to suddenly exempting the traditional physical activities from the rules, from the marginal cost analysis. It's this event exists solely in the ether and is only a communication over the internet.
Mm-hmm. I might make the comment that I don't think it's lost on you, but you may have questions for us, that under either draft A that treats this communication and tries to account for some of the cost of the software as an in-kind contribution, or draft B1, which wholly exempts it because it's over the internet, and I maintain that the policy decision was the costs are so low that as a policy matter the commission exempted them, IAPAC can achieve what it wants to do effectively.
Yes.
I look at some of the historical treatments of the commission when it did try to value internet communications. And, to call your attention to MER 6795, a recent one involving CREW. Mr. Powers may be familiar with that one. But there the commission, CREW, had posted, had done staff time, research, to do research about 16 what they called the most crooked candidates, emailed out information about the 16 most crooked candidates, included some electoral content, and posted those press releases on its website. And there, with all that staff time and all that writing and emailing, the commission concluded it does not appear that the cost of posting press releases on CREW's website and sending a mass email would have triggered the $250, even a $250 independent expenditure reporting threshold.
Right.
That theory runs throughout both practical enforcement policy of the commission as well as the policy of 06 of why the commission was exempting internet communications that weren't paid for a fee as a matter of policy. So I think it's probably not lost on you, but your reflection, you can effectively do what IAPAC wants to do under either draft A or draft B1?
Right, that's right. Either draft works. One of the reasons we think that draft B is the more reflective, that reflects sort of what the current state of the law is, okay, is that it is an internet communication, and the Internet Association is doing this because it wants to further sort of the use of the internet to show how the internet is fundamentally different. Its members all are engaged in a variety of activities that have changed traditional commerce and other activities that are fundamentally different now with the internet. Either A or B would work. It's a matter of trying to come up with the allocation of the cost in a way that, again, Draft A seems to look backward to a marginal cost mentality where there's not necessarily one, whereas Draft B recognizes the existing, I think, forward-looking internet communication regulations from 10 years ago and fits that activity squarely within those. And so, therefore, we prefer Draft B, but certainly either draft would allow our client to accomplish its goals.
Well, we shouldn't get hung up on what to many in the real world, then, including for IAPAC, is a I won't call it merely an academic disagreement over which rubric under which we might treat this. But it is worth noting on the academic point, you know, that in 2006, the commission concluded that the internet really is a special case in politics. And that the commission said then and that the commission that the internet had yet to tap its potential in politics and that this agency should not get in its way. And that it was appropriate to exempt it as a class or as a unique medium, and it would be inappropriate to do that under the name of campaign finance reform, because we aren't the speech police, and ultimately what this is a communication, and we should free this speech in this medium. So for those reasons, I want to thank you for your presentation. Your supplemental materials were quite helpful in helping us revise B to get to B1. And if there aren't any other, I'll make a motion. Otherwise, but I don't want to cut off discussion or debate.
Commissioner Rabel.
Thank you. I just have a simple point with respect to this, and I do appreciate your presentations and your request. And clearly, this commission, in all of its AO requests, has done what it can within the rules and within the purposes of our law to accommodate advances in technology. We're extremely consistent with that policy and that way of going forward. But I have to say that even in 2006, when this rule was enacted, contrary to what my colleague has said, and I agree with the points that were made by Commissioner Weintraub, and I support the other response to your AO request. Let me cite to the ENJ from the Federal Register, which says this rule change does not exempt all political activity involving the use of technology from regulation. Therefore, for example, a political committee's purchase of computers for individuals to engage in internet activities for the purpose of influencing a federal election remains an expenditure by the political committee. So, and then it goes on to talk about in-kind contributions, prohibited in-kind contributions. I believe firmly that the initial AO response in this case, the original draft, is the one that is consistent with our law and with the rules, and that's the one I'll support.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Goodman.
Well, it's true that the ENJ in 2006 did, after going through why it was exempting internet communications that are not paid for a fee on a third party's website, the commission was careful to say there are still these things out there that are in-kind contributions. And no doubt, when a political action committee buys computers, it's an expenditure that gets reported on its expenditure reports, but it's not an independent expenditure. It's not a public communication. So, yes, it is an expenditure that it has to report, like any other expenditure. But under the discussion of in-kind contributions, you're right. The commission said the commission would also like to reiterate that the current regulations at 100.52D1 make clear that the provision of goods or services without charge or a charge that is less than the usual normal charge for goods or services is a contribution. And then it gave some examples of that. If the entity normally provides advertising and gives free advertising space to a political committee, that's an in-kind contribution. And the other example it gave to distinguish online communications by a group is when any organization transfers, and I'm reading, to a political committee a tangible asset such as an email list. I would include in that the computers themselves and software themselves. So yes, if they're going to provide those assets to a campaign committee, the commission was very careful in the internet, the explanation and justification accompanying the 2006 rulemaking, to say there are still in-kind contributions, but just not communications over the internet on your using your own facilities. So everywhere else, what the commission made very clear was that the only type of internet communication that would be regulated as a public communication, and I'm reading, is internet advertising placed on another person's website for a fee. And that was reiterated time and time again, that paid advertisements are the only internet activity covered by the new definition of public communication. So, yes, I believe Mr. Jacobs has agreed that there are some things IAPAC could do, even in connection with streaming an event, that would result in an in-kind contribution, but not the pure communication itself. So if there's any further discussion, otherwise I'll just move draft and we can get on with the votes.
Commissioner Weintraub.
I'd just like to ask counsel if they have any comments in general or if they view draft A as inconsistent with the internet regulation and its ENJ in particular.
Well, I think commissioners are aware of the recommendations that OGC made in this matter. Because it's not public, I hesitate to get into the substance of them here, but you know, commissioners are aware of what we recommended in terms of responses to the various answers, and our recommendation, of course, we believe is consistent with applicable law.
Well, how about the second part of my question? Do you view draft A as in any way inconsistent with the internet regulation or the ENJ?
No, we don't view an inconsistency there, no.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Goodman.
I'll ask Mr. Noe the same question. Is there anything inconsistent with draft B1 with either the internet regulation, the definition of public communication, or the coordinated communication regulation, once you choose to analyze it under the coordinated communication regulation?
No, and to address both questions sort of simultaneously, the drafts are not directed at each other particularly. They look at the question through different lenses.
They take a different fork in the road
exactly.
On the proper rubric for analyzing this question.
Exactly. So having taken that fork in the road, I don't know that we would identify any conflict or inconsistency with the approach each one takes, but they obviously take different approaches.
Do you see anything fundamentally unreasonable for the fork in the road that draft B1 took, that this is exempt?
I don't know that we can give a view on the reasonability of a draft. I mean,
Mr. Patalis.
If I may, and I appreciate the question. It's, I don't think this is the best forum to answer it.
I wasn't going there until my colleague did. Sorry.
I'll let you up. I want to be clear, because you said, I'm sorry, may I?
Oh, yes, Commissioner Weintraub.
You made a long and impassioned speech about how draft A is fundamentally inconsistent with the regulations and the ENJ, so I just wanted to, I don't think it is. I wanted to hear from our counsel whether they think it is. So I thought that was a fair question. That's all. That's the only point I was trying to make.
Mr. Chairman, much of my impassioned speech was reading from your statements in 2006, Commissioner Weintraub.
Do we have a motion?
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Goodman.
At this time, I will move adoption of agenda document number 16-27-B1. in advisory opinion request number 2016-06.
We have a motion on the table. Is there any further discussion of that motion? If none, all those in favor indicate by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Madam Secretary, that motion fails by a vote of 3-3 with Commissioners Goodman, Hunter, and myself in favor, and Commissioners Ravel, Weintraub, and the Vice Chairman opposed. Do we have a further motion? Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move adoption of Draft A, which is Agenda Document Number 16-27A.
Is there any further discussion on that motion? If none, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? No.
No.
Madam Secretary, that motion fails by a vote of 3-3 with Commissioners Ravel, Weintraub, and the Vice Chairman in favor, and Commissioners Goodman, Hunter, and myself opposed. Commissioner Goodman.
Mr. Chairman, as we've discussed with Mr. Jacobs here today, Mr. Jacobs and his client walk away from the commission with essentially a yes answer if you look at the two drafts, despite our philosophical difference on how to regulate Internet communications. Whether it's treated as a low-cost communication where you account for some nominal value of the use of this technology, or whether you consider it wholly exempt. And I'm wondering if there's any interest in the Commission of providing IAPAC some modicum of an opinion that says, although the Commission could not agree on the rationale or the regulatory treatment, they are permitted to do. Now, Mr. Jacobs and Mr. Powers are sophisticated attorneys. They could certainly take the two drafts and advise their client that there were six votes to allow you to do this in some shape or form or fashion. But I'm wondering if there's any interest of the commission to provide this requester a piece of paper that essentially gives them a yes answer, although we couldn't necessarily agree on all the particulars.
Commissioner Ravel?
Yes, as we've discussed previously, I think we're consistent on a number of areas of this request, and I think it would be appropriate not just for the requester but for the public to have an understanding of where we are consistent. So I'd be willing to do that.
Mr. Noddy?
And if that is where the commission wants to go, we wouldn't necessarily have to do it here today. There's enough time left within the 60-day deadline. We could write up a bare-bones draft, and it could be voted on tally if the commission wished to take that route.
Mr. Chairman?
Commissioner
Goodman. I'd ask Mr. Jacobs. Mr. Jacobs, what would be your preference? Would it be of benefit to your client and facilitate their democratic political activity to have something like that, or are you happy with the two drafts you've seen voted out?
I very much appreciate the desire to create a draft that says yes. I think that's an important piece. It demonstrates that when the client asks a candidate to participate in something like this, the candidate says, well, what does the FEC say? So a yes would be a very important yes.
Well, then we will look to put together a consensus draft, kind of a stripped down bare bones, and get that resolved on tally before the expiration of the time period. Just out of curiosity, when is the 60 days going to run?
August 1st.
August 1st. Okay. So we have a little bit of time, but obviously if we can move quicker rather than later on that, I think that that will be wise of us to do that. So,
Mr. Chairman, one closing.
Yes, Commissioner Goodman.
For the record, Mr. Ketchum Caldwell is a rising second year law student at the University of Virginia who was pushed into this philosophical divide and handled it quite admirably. And so, Mr. Ketchum Caldwell, congratulations. And to Mr. Powers, welcome to the other side of the table, Mr. Powers. It's good to see you.
All right.
I'm not so sure how I feel about him on the other side of the table.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
We will resolve this as quickly as possible. Thanks again.
Thank you.